In the name of our blessed and most merciful Savior Jesus, who in mercy calls us from the sickness of our sin to the health and happiness and joy in Him. Dear friends of our Savior, the situation before us this morning is a very strange one. I say it's strange because from a worldly standpoint, this would be a very foolish move. If you were a business owner, what Jesus did here in our text, it'd be a very foolish move. In fact, it would be an act of almost insanity, destruction of your company. Jesus goes and asks a tax collector to help him out, to work for him. If you were in the military, that'd be like asking somebody from the other side to come and fight on your side during the middle of battle. Or maybe if, a little bit closer to home, if you were in the hospital and you knew someone who had a very contagious disease and you said, all right, we're going to ask you to help out in the NICU, you know, the place where the little babies are that are very volatile. It wouldn't really make much sense, right, to do that. You're almost self-destructing. Is that what Jesus was doing here? Almost seems like he was looking for sick sinners to serve on his behalf. Didn't look like in choosing a tax collector, he's going to preserve his kingdom or even further his kingdom, but rather destroy it. But in your experience with God's word, when does he ever do anything that we understand or even expect according to the world standards? Seems as though God does things almost always backwards, doesn't he? And that case is no different today as we take a look at this autobiography. It's five verses, autobiography of Matthew, otherwise known as Levi. Levi was his Hebrew name. Matthew, maybe Jesus gave him that name after he came and knocked on his tax collector's booth, which in and of itself was very strange. Jesus, whom we understand, or most likely, Matthew knew. He had heard him speak, he had heard him preach, he had heard him teach, he had seen him do miracles, perhaps he had even heard him say, your sins are forgiven, earlier when he told the man to get up and walk. Or perhaps it was such a strange occurrence because someone who was in the synagogue would never come and have anything to do with a tax collector. See, the Pharisees, the synagogue police, if you will, they had already written off the tax collectors and sinners. They were not worthy of coming into that synagogue. In fact, if we were to use that illustration of the hospital, if the Pharisees were the doctors, so to speak, they had already put the tax collectors on a sort of hospice for hell. In this way, not that they weren't going to take care of them and ease their pain, but they were already written off. They had a death sentence, even while they were alive. And it wasn't because the tax collectors were repentant of their sin and they wanted to hear the word. It wasn't because they weren't repentant. It was simply because the Pharisees said, your life, the life that you've chosen to live, you're out. You don't get to come into the synagogue. You don't get to hear God's word. God didn't choose you. He's chosen us. Even though you may have been a Jew, Matthew, or as he was called, Levi. So when Jesus comes up to his booth, imagine what must have been going through the head of this tax collector. Now, if you know anything about the way the taxes were collected in that day, it was this way. Rome had set up their certain places, certain districts, where tax collectors would collect a certain amount for Rome. Okay? And whatever was over and above that, they could just pocket as their own. It's almost a legalized theft, if you will, and yet it was still legal because tax collectors need to make their living too. And so naturally, tax collectors were one of the wealthiest of the day, living in the lap of luxury, having pretty much everything worldly. But they were also one of the loneliest. Because as I mentioned before, they were not really liked by anyone. It wasn't just because of the Pharisees. The other aspect of being a tax collector was that Rome would hire you, a Jew, to collect from Jews. Kind of makes sense, right? You want to know the people that you're collecting from, know where they hide out, and maybe know their excuses, and you can go and collect from them, which is kind of understandable why no one could stand them. And everyone kind of treated them like lepers, so to speak. The only difference is that a leper didn't choose to be sick and secluded from society. A tax collector chose this life. He chose to be dishonest, if you will. He chose to be a castaway in society. And so when Jesus comes up to the booth, it makes it even more interesting and strange that he tells him to follow him. Follow me, Matthew. First of all, Jesus was kind of stepping into some dangerous territory, and we'll talk about more about that later, but even associating with a tax collector almost would automatically put you in the same boat as them. Nevertheless, Jesus, without any sort of resume or, well, we'll test you out for maybe 6 weeks and we'll see how you do and then we'll see if you can work for me or not. Jesus simply goes up to the enemy, so to speak, the sick sinner, and he says, follow me. Why would he do something like that? An act of absolute destruction for his company, for his kingdom. Why would he choose an enemy from the other side to carry out his will and his work? Because the enemy was sick. Because the enemy, Matthew, Levi, was sitting in his booth, and we have reason to believe that he was torn. He felt all kinds of guilt for what he was doing. He didn't know a way out and couldn't find a way out of this whole situation. And he needed a doctor to come and to relieve him of his illness. He needed to be sought out, as you know how it works. When you're sick, you go and find a doctor and ask for the doctor's help. Well, that's the opposite of what happened today. Jesus went and sought out the sick sinner. And he said, follow me. Now, we have to understand, too, that Jesus has a pretty good advantage over us. In this way, that he was able to see into this man's heart. He was able to see the angst, the guilt, the struggles that he was going through. He was also able to see that this man was willing and ready to leave it all behind. He also knew that this man had most likely heard of him. Knew, at least, that Jesus wasn't just a healer, but one who would bring forgiveness in the midst of the guilt and the suffering for sins of the past. And so when Jesus says, come and follow me, he does. In not so many words, it says Matthew got up and followed him. And it wasn't just for the day, he wasn't just following him around town and let's go out and have lunch with Jesus. He left it all behind. He left the lap of luxury. He left the lucrative lifestyle. But he also left the guilt to follow the doctor, the one who came to seek the sick sinner, to bring him healing. And isn't that what Jesus does in your life? You sit in your own booth. You're not a tax collector, at least I don't know anyone is in here. Not in the same way. But you have your own guilt. You have your own pet sins that you carry around. Maybe they're ones of the past. Maybe you have your own addictions, be they liquid, solid, or immaterial. Maybe you have your own vices that you struggle with, that you fall into again and again, and yet every time you do, the guilt just keeps piling up. You don't want to let go of it, but yet you do. You want to cast it off, but you don't know how because you're sick. Or perhaps you're even sick in the way that the Pharisees were, and as we'll see in a few moments, that you look around you and you see everyone else is sinning, but I'm not. At least I'm not doing the same things they are. And then later on, as you think about that, you think, well, who am I to think even that? And so you struggle with even that guilt. Or maybe you even look around at your life and you wonder, what good is it? What good is my life? I don't even know what God's purpose is for me, and you despair. To which Jesus comes up to the booth in your life, and he stops in the window of your hearts, and he says, you're sick. I'm here to heal you. Follow me. Follow me, and I will bring you out of this sickness and death into the life that only I can bring. And I think it's almost a stroke of irony here that yes, Matthew will follow Jesus. But did you catch it? Jesus ends up following Matthew. Isn't that strange? Yes, Matthew's following Jesus away from the booth, but eventually Jesus ends up following Matthew to his house. There's kind of a gap here, isn't there? Between verses 9 and 10, it's just all of a sudden Matthew got up and followed him, and then suddenly we're over in verse 10 as Jesus is reclining at the table in Matthew's house. And many tax collectors and sinners were there too, eating with Jesus. How'd we get here? Well, there's some assumptions that we have to make, and that is when Matthew followed Jesus, naturally this conversation would have happened. Assuming Matthew would have known a little bit about Jesus, perhaps the conversation would have been somewhat similar to what you and I do at the beginning of a service. Lord, I'm not worthy to follow you. Look at the life that I live. Look at the life that I have lived in the past. There's no way that you would... You sure you got the right person here? And perhaps out of the mouth of Matthew would have been, have mercy on me, a sinner. The worst of sinners. To which Jesus would have said, Matthew, you know me. You know that this is the reason why I came, to heal the sick. To heal those who are sick with sin and bring them into my own righteousness and perfection. It's the very reason why I came on this earth and died, and or if you're in the shoes of Matthew, why I will die for you. That you might leave behind that life of sin and guilt and leave it all on me. And then we have Jesus sitting in his house. Because when a sick sinner is healed, he cannot help but rejoice and welcome the one who healed him. You ever had that experience where a doctor does something that no one else has? Or maybe they found something that no other doctor has? And suddenly, you almost feel indebted to that doctor for finding that. You almost feel, wow, I'm so thankful that you found this, or I'm so thankful this cure, or this whatever it is, this treatment is available. I want to let everyone know about this. And that's exactly what Jesus would heal the sick sinner, the tax collector, to do. And here's the thing that's so interesting about this. I don't think that Matthew even realized what he was doing. Jesus had reassured him of forgiveness, and he was so excited about it, he couldn't help but invite Jesus into his home, which in the end was going to serve other sick sinners. You know, right, that the tax collectors, they would associate with each other and other people that the society would say, we don't want anything to do with you. And so naturally, what is the sick sinner or one sick sinner Matthew going to do? He's going to invite Jesus into his home so that he can talk about this with them too. And so you see how Jesus uses even sick sinners to serve him, having healed them from their sin. But as you also know, not everyone would see it that way. Pharisees were there, they're the political police, if you will, and they made it their pride and joy to make sure that they showed up at the house, make sure that everything was going okay. And I guess I have to ask the one question that's so obvious. Why are they there? They've already told the tax collectors, you're not welcome in the synagogue. So dealing with the church, if you will, why do they even care? Here's why. Because they see followers of Jesus, and the only way they can get at him is through his followers. And here's what's interesting, too. It doesn't seem like the Pharisees go into the house because they don't want to defile themselves. And so they stand outside the house, and you can hear them kind of murmuring, well, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Your teacher. You go after the students, right? To destroy the teacher, you destroy his students. And so what the Pharisees were looking to do was defame Jesus. You want to follow this guy? He's eating with the people that we say no one should associate with, tax collectors and sinners. You sure about this guy? And of course, Jesus hears this and clears the air with a statement that silences all. The healthy do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. In fact, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. If you remember back a couple minutes in our service, we just read that quote from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. What is Jesus telling these Pharisees? And really, what is he teaching his disciples here? What is he teaching us? If I might paraphrase, if you want to come and follow me, then you're going to need me, Jesus says. If you want to come and follow me and you think you don't really need me because your sin, well, it's not that bad, or maybe it's not there at all. Or maybe you're good enough, you do enough, you show up enough, and you put in enough time and you put in enough offerings, and you do enough to merit something, at least you do better than others, then Jesus might say, well, you don't need me then. Because you're already righteous enough in your own eyes, and then you will have the heaven that you have cooked up in your own mind for yourself when you die. That's not why I came then. I didn't come for the righteous. I didn't come for the self-righteous. I didn't come for the Pharisee inside of us that says, yeah, I'm a sinner, but so is everyone else. And so if I'm like everyone else, then God can't possibly send everyone to hell. And for that matter, I'm probably better than most, at least on my good days. So that's got to count for something. Translation, I don't need Jesus. I'm good enough. To which Jesus says, I don't need your sacrifices. I don't want them. I've come to bring you mercy. I've come to see the sick sinner in need of a doctor, in need of a Savior, to call the sinner to righteousness in mercy. You know, remember, mercy is not giving someone something they deserve. That is not giving the sinner what they deserve. That is an eternity of separation from God in hell. So Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Who are they? There's a difference between seeing your sin, knowing your sin, and, well, those who don't. Those who don't see their sin really don't even see their Savior. If I don't have sin that separates me from salvation and from God, then what good is a Savior from that sin? If I'm not sick, why do I need a doctor? Why do I need someone to have mercy on me? And so really Jesus' whole point is that he would come to the sick sinner who in humility kneels humbly before God and says, I don't deserve for you to come into my home. I don't deserve for you to give me an ear. I don't deserve to even stand before you, and yet here I am crying out to you, have mercy on me, a sinner. Does those words sound familiar to you? Have mercy on me, a sinner, sick and in need of your salvation. Isn't that why you come here? Isn't that why you come back here to the pages of God's holy word? Isn't that why you see this not as a thing that God forces you to do, but a privilege he gives you? That as he heals you for a purpose, to serve him and to lead others to do the same. Sick sinners healed to follow Jesus. This is his call for you. Amen.